You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
Hey, gang.
Hey.
Welcome to Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia, and this is my first time watching this series.
And I'm Jordan, and this is maybe my 10th time watching through this series.
And today we're watching season one, episode 8, titled Guilty. We're really excited about this. Mm-hmm. We hope you're watching along. You don't have to. You could do this online. Maybe you have the box set. We haven't discussed that. If people bought the box set to this.
People did. And I mean, not people, maybe not that listen to us.
You're like, not me.
But I was on Reddit the other day and someone was posting like photos from the box set. And I'm like, shit, I want it.
Maybe we should get the box set.
I think we should. I think we should invest.
Good investment. I wonder if it was like a cute box set. They were trying to make, because that was the height of DVDs, 2004,
yeah,
2005.
Like, yeah. It was definitely like peak, like fancy box sets of things. But the problem is like that was only one season. So like maybe.
Which was, they didn't have the full box set to like what, 2012. Well, the year I graduated high school. Oh my god, Desperate Housewives was on when I was in high school.
Yeah, I remember watching the finale in high school. I was a sophomore.
Whoa. Okay, that kind of blows my mind. Yeah. Time is flying. I can't keep track of it anymore.
Time is flying.
Well, you can watch on your box set if you have one, if you are that super fan.
Yeah.
Or you can watch online at Amazon Prime or Hulu. It's your choice. You don't have to. You can just listen to us. We hope you've been doing that so far. If you're jumping in now, Jordan's showing me a picture. And it is the most heavily edited thing.
Look at the way they around. Have Brie posed. We're posting this on our Instagram.
She looks evil.
So you guys could see it.
Yeah, she looks.
But look at like the way they have her arms, like clearly holding up her boobs.
I mean, because they're good boobs.
I mean, they're great boobs.
We discussed 2 episodes ago, yeah. I think maybe last episode, about how great her boobs they are. She's squeezing them. I heard that's a modeling trick where if you like put your arms together, I don't know what that is.
I feel like you need more boobs than what I have to even do that.
No, you guys haven't worn a bra in a year. It only made them smaller.
Yeah, I just squished them down.
Gravity was like,
did nope. Nothing.
So look me up on Instagram. No. So you can watch along with us. You don't have to. Like we said, today is episode 8. So if you haven't been listening this far, you might be a little bit lost, but you can catch on really fast. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, we try our best to explain the background drama of like how we got here. So hopefully you can get on board. And whatever you decide to do, a requirement we do have if you listen is to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This is very important. Please. Anything. And give us a written review. I want to see people's actual like comments.
Yeah.
Or just bullshit it and say we're adorable and wonderful and hilarious.
Yes. Just, I mean, speak from your heart. Say it with your chest. Or, I don't know. Or don't.
Yeah. Or don't. Just give us 5 stars, whatever you do.
5 stars. But we would like to see some reviews. If you've ever, actually, how about this? If you've ever left a Yelp review, you have to leave us a review. This is more worthwhile.
Yes. And it will benefit us greatly. So please, please do it.
Yes. So please do that. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter. We have a website where you can learn a little bit more about us. Mm-hmm. We post all our episodes on there too.
Yep.
If that's like how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And do we have any other platforms? That's it.
No. Our best content, I think, is on Instagram. So get on there. Julia's got some great graphics. Ew. We have a nice little, you know, fuck schedule she made for Gabby and John. If you like content like that, that's the place to go.
We do some polls. We do would you rather or would you ever.
Yeah. We post some clips with some fun edits. Yeah. So definitely check that out.
We do live tweet it. Mm-hmm. It's not live because I don't know when you guys are watching it. Yeah. But it's live when we watch. We tweet each episode. Just some fun things. So check us out on Twitter too. So I know it's more comfortable for everybody. Hopefully it feels like we're sitting down in a circle together right now. It's more comfortable if we go over how we're going to do this today. So just like every other episode, if you've been along for our ride, we are going to break down what happened episode 7 and maybe some of the other episodes so we're all caught up.
Yeah.
Then we're going to talk about some desperation in our own lives and the world today to get us warmed up for the desperate acts we might see from everybody.
Yep.
And they're getting more and more desperate by the episode. I didn't know we would be here. I was like, this seems tepid. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's cool. Like, a little bit of drama in the neighborhood. And then it just... So, either way, we get into some desperate acts to warm us up for the desperate acts we might see in this episode. Things have gotten buck wild. I never thought we would be here. But we are. I mean, we're going to break it down right now for you.
Yep.
But after that, we're going to go into our recap and talk about what this episode means to us, what we thought about it, what it means for the ladies, and what it says about the times. And then we do a fuck, marry, kill.
Yep.
Good old fuck, marry, kill. A 5-star. Not 5-star. We haven't given anything 5-star
yet. We haven't yet.
But we do an Apple rating.
We do our Apple ratings.
And then we choose a housewife of the week.
Yep.
Maybe we'll do a husband eventually. House human. Husband of the week. House human. A husband of the week maybe eventually, but that's typically how it goes. So we hope you're ready. We hope you're excited. And to get you more excited, let's talk about where we're at, what happened. Because last episode was a banger.
Last episode was crazy. So I'm excited for what this episode has in store.
Episode 7 was all about competition.
Yep.
And that's a good theme. It brought us lots of juicy stuff.
It really did.
So the question mostly was, who are we competing against and why? And what are the stakes involved in these competitions? Like, how real are these stakes? Because sometimes you're just competing in your head. We all know that in this day and age. And the ladies were on their own journeys with this theme. Particularly Lynette had maybe one of my favorites. She was hitting that ADD pill bottle, and she was hitting it hard.
Yes, very hard.
And this was making her feel really frazzled because she wasn't sleeping, and Tom comes home, and he is like, I need you to throw this dinner party. And she's like, I'm already, like, on the edge. I don't know that I can do that. He's like, I need to do it so I can sell this pitch, and we can continue to live the lavish life we live. Yeah. Very average life, I guess.
Yeah.
And she puts it together. But she can't do this unless she steals ADD medication from somebody else because she ran out. So she commits a crime, steals the medication from her neighbor. From children, from another mom. And she pulls off the dinner party, but she steals Tom's thunder and comes up with a better idea on the spot than him, and his boss buys it. They get in a fight about it. So one aspect of that was she was competing with Tom, whether she knew or not. Tom felt competitive with her. He was like, you were always better than me at work. And so we're like, oh, they met at work.
Huh? Yeah.
But
I want to hear that story.
Yeah, where's that story? But she was also competing against the Brie Vandekamps of the world is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And she just feels like she can't be a good mom. And she's not like all these other housewives. And she's not killing it like she did at her job. So she felt that competitiveness. So that's what was up with Brie. They come to a nice ending there. And she still is hitting that ADD bottle, though, I believe.
Yes.
She didn't just take one pill to, like, get through the dinner party. She stole a bunch. And Tom notices her eyes are whacked out.
I feel like she's in, like, full-blown addiction mode already.
Yeah, she's super addicted. So, in addition to that, we have Gabby. Gabby was feeling competitive against the 16-year-old girl.
Yuck. I'm going to have to say no to that.
And it was pathetic. I think we use the word pathetic.
It's extremely pathetic.
It was pathetic because she offers to send this girl to a modeling academy, and this girl can clearly not be a model. She was not cute. She wasn't cute enough. And
not at all.
Gabby was like, I'll send you to this modeling academy to get her out of her hair so she could keep fucking drawn, and for her to feel threatened by this young girl, and also to even be like worried about, it's just all gross. But that's what her storyline was. And this led her and John to break up because John was like, I really do like Danielle.
Which is like, someone daughter. My own age.
Yeah, Bree's daughter, someone his own age. They break up essentially. But Gabby sells him on the idea of breakup sex, which is a horrible myth.
Yeah. Fuck that. Boo.
I mean, maybe not. If you've had breakup sex, tell us why.
And explain the benefits, please.
Yeah, what was the how how did that make you feel in the months after? I don't really know. It wouldn't be good for me. But so that happens. They have some breakup sex, but they get caught in the act by Juanita. She was onto them the whole time.
Yep.
She snaps a picture, runs into the street, and gets hit by a car.
And on that note, Bree's story this week was, or last week, was that she and Rex finally announced that they're getting divorced. And it turns into this kind of like competition where Rex is basically trying to buy the kids' affections. Andrew's kind of acting out at school. He assaults another student, and Rex is not very helpful with how he wants to handle it. But anyway, he offers to pay for Danielle to go to modeling school where she will fail. And he buys Andrew a car, if that sounds familiar.
One of those shitty, like, 2004 Mustangs.
Yeah, like, a really ugly convertible.
Yeah.
Basically, Andrew, you know, Bree says that if the kids want to stay and live with her, they have to give their gifts back. Danielle caves, Andrew doesn't, drives off to his dad, asks his dad basically to live with him, and his dad heartbreakingly says no and rejects him. So Andrew gets drunk, drives home, and is the driver that hits Juanita.
It comes full circle.
Yep. He gets home, and in a great moment of acting, basically in tears, needs his mother to help
him.
Best
acting we've seen so far.
Yeah. Especially from, like, a kid actor or teen actor.
Mama.
Yeah. Mama. Yeah.
It's like Migos. Mama.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he does say the words mama.
Yeah. And then, last but not least, Susan and Mike are finally going to go on their first date. Susan puts on a crazy overdressed outfit, but she looks great. Tries to brag to Edie, but it turns out a lady is already at Mike's house.
That was the most savage scene.
Yeah, that was brutal.
She's like, guess what? Fucking going on a date with Mike. She walks every time I've used
the phrase. She plays herself.
The walk of shame without even getting laid. She fucking walked her ass home. Oh my God. Sorry. That I just forgot how crazy that scene was.
Yeah, no, it was insane. And she goes to Mike's house. This hot girl named Kendra's there. Just being hot.
Who was my fuck last week? She was my fuck choice.
So like, we don't really know what's going on with her and Mike, but like, it's platonic, but Susan doesn't realize that and she's confused. And so she does a walk of shame back past Edie, and Edie fucking roasts her ass, and rightfully so.
In like a pleather dress.
Yeah, she's in a fucking pleather dress. Anyway, she and Edie decide they're going to go spy on Mike and Kendra at Saddle Ranch, and my fuck was Edie because she rode that bull like nobody's business.
Yes.
And then Susan tries to and bonks her head because she's Susan.
Yeah.
And they end up having this talk, she and Mike, and then Kendra's like, Mike's a great guy. I have no intentions on him or whatever, but you should ask him why he moved to Wisteria Lane, which is like,
that was a mic drop.
Yeah, I was like, all right, sis. So yeah, that is pretty much where those two ladies leave us off. And last but not least, our main mystery, Mr. Paul Young. He is talking to Edie about selling his house and realizes she's using the same stationery that...
It's also a crazy move.
Yeah. That Mary Alice, like, the blackmail note was written on.
Like, he holds them up, like, side by side.
Like, he's on CSI.
This paper matches.
It's crazy. And then he pays a fucking shaft to kill her.
Literally Shaft.
I'm not just saying that. That's not a racist comment. That is the actor that plays Shaft. And I cannot get it out of my head that it's just Shaft.
He moved to Mysteria Lane. Yes. He's like, fuck the city.
Wherever the heck they are.
He like downsized as he retired.
Edie's got a hit out on her.
It's like not that funny, but it is. Like, he puts out a hit on her
He knows all of her belongings burned down. Why would he just assume, like, the paper for sure would have burned down?
It's like 8x11 like printer paper.
It's just purple paper. It's not stationary. It doesn't have a design.
It doesn't have a letterhead.
Like, no.
So Edie has a hit
crazy.
Out.
Crazy. Yes.
Innocent Edie has a hit out on her. She's just trying to fuck you guys. Explaining it all again has me in tears.
I can't breathe.
Oh no.
It's not even funny.
It's so funny.
So if you're wondering if this was a soap opera, Like, this episode gives so much confirmation.
It was a comedy. The pleather dress. The fucking paper.
Okay.
Sorry, that escalated. I'm sorry. You guys, it's like normally more put together than this.
This is wild.
I'm hot. So with that, I'm going to keep my desperate deed short today. I had like another one in mind, but I'll just tell you guys something embarrassing. That's been my MO lately with everybody I know. Like where you're just like rambling and all of a sudden you have like... you stumbled onto territory, you're like, wait,
what happened?
They're gonna think of me differently now.
It's fine, it's fine.
He's leaving me. Shit. Yeah, so I one time, this is my desperate deed. One time I told this guy that we had been dating for a while. I really liked him. I don't know that we were the best match, like looking back, and it was short-lived, but it was one of those things that like escalated really fast, like everything was moving quickly, and like I liked him way too much for my own good within 2 months. And I told him, we kind of got in like a little bit of a tiff one day, and I was like, I would go to a country music festival with you. I hate country music. I hate it.
Okay, just so everybody knows, I would have never let her go.
I would have never. Jordan was around for this, and she first of all, I don't know when I told you this. I don't think you said anything the first time I told you this, but then me and him, like, broke up a month later. It was over, obviously, because I was compromising my entire self.
A country music festival.
I wasn't even, like, a Kenny Chesney concert. I was like, I would go to Stagecoach for you. I was just trying to get him to go see a scary movie with me. He was like, no. I don't like scary movies. And I was like, well, maybe I was using it as leverage. Yeah. I was like, I would go to a country music festival for you. It didn't move him. And we broke up a month later. And Jordan was like, yeah, you told me that you said that to him. And I was like, shit, we've lost her.
I mean,
it was a little desperate. That was pretty desperate. I don't know that it was even true. Like, if he had surprised me with tickets, I would have been like, oh, fuck.
I'm like, dang, I wonder. We'll never know.
Yeah, so that's my desperate deed. Much shorter than the one I was going to give you, but sorry.
Yeah, my desperate deed, I'll keep short. Basically, when I was in college, I was poor as hell, and the guy I was dating was poor as hell. I was going to say my ex-boyfriend, but that's not how it works in college.
That's not how it works.
You're just like, kind of together. You don't want to put a label on it.
Not even what everybody says. Yeah, but they're like only fucking you and like cry over you.
Yeah. And, like, and then you hang out all the time and do all the things. Yeah.
You like have a key to his house. Like,
yeah. No, for real though.
He's like, I don't know if I'm ready to call you my girlfriend. It's been like 2 years.
Yeah, no, we were like 4 months in. Like, yeah. Not okay. We were both poor in between jobs, is what I'll say. But also we were in school. I think I had like an English muffin and some pickles left in my fridge. So I was like, shit, we need to get food. Yeah. So we desperately created a Tinder profile and tricked people into buying us pizza. So that's my desperate deed, is tricking innocent bystanders.
I do have questions about it. Did you guys like say where you wanted it from? Were you like only Domino's, like Papa John's, not Little Caesars? Like, were you?
We were like, we wanted Domino's.
Okay.
The guys would always like, we did this more than once. They would always ask me. Okay. Not always. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Less than 5 times, more than 1 time. I don't know how many times, but they always asked us where, like,
okay,
where do you, what pizza do you like?
I have another desperate deed for you next time.
Okay.
That this brings to mind. I completely blocked out of my mind.
Oh my God, I'm ready for it.
Okay. Yes. Well, with that, I think we're warmed up enough. We hope you guys giggled a little bit. Yeah. I don't know if you found the hit as funny as we did, but
whatever.
Yeah. Well, that gets you ready for how it's gonna go, and we hope this episode just tops what we had going on last time, if it's even possible. It was so good.
Absolutely.
So per usual, we want to do a safety check. Is everybody buckled up?
I don't want to hear the seatbelt light going off while we're watching the show. Yeah.
So we'll leave you with our typical words of wisdom to buckle up. See you on the other side.
Season 1, Episode 8, Guilty. After Andrew runs over Carlos's mother, Bree and Rex cover up the incident by disposing of the car. Lynette is out of whack from taking her boy's ADD medication. She tries to find balance, but reaches an all-time low. Susan discovers incriminating items in Mike's house, and they call off their budding affair. Gabby finds out that John told the pastor all about their romantic romp and worries about what will ease her guilt. Paul makes the decision to avenge Mary Alice Young's death after coming to a realization.
Okay, you guys.
That was a wild ride. I hope you were buckled up.
I cried.
I cried too.
I shed some tears.
This was an episode that hit in a lot of different ways. Shit was crazy, but also very real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not laughing about the stationery anymore. I mean, maybe I am. So it covered the emotional spectrum. And I left this episode and I asked Jordan if anything, if this won an Emmy. This was literally a beautifully, no. like, put together. Everything flowed perfectly, in my opinion, in terms of how their storylines fit. Mm-hmm. Reaching the theme of, like, guilt and how you handle it. And, like, if you have any.
Yeah.
It was pretty succinct. Mm-hmm. It was clean. It was concise. So it left me in tears. It left me feeling lots of ways. And I mean, I'm ready. I think we should just take you through.
I think we should just dive right in.
So let's not forget how this all started. We don't typically mention Mary Alice Young in our intros anymore, but she killed herself.
Yes,
let's
she not forget. Did kill herself.
She didn't even get an obit, you guys. Her husband didn't fucking put one in the paper.
No.
But she's still around, and she is a main character, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
She sets us up every episode. We love her VOs, and she sets up our theme typically.
Yes.
And this time she said a widely read book, aka the Bible. And I'm like, it's getting a little Christian in here. It's getting a little religious in here.
I mean, this episode hits some religious notes.
It does. And she says this widely read book tells us that everyone is a sinner. We are, but that's okay. If you're not, I mean, come on, like, you're not living.
Yeah, no.
If you don't sin, you're not living. Not everyone who is Christian feels guilt over the things that they've done, or everyone who's religious feels guilt. But Bree does and has for most of her life. And I'm like, that checks some boxes yes. for why you are the way you are. Mm-hmm. When you're feeling that type of guilt, you'll do anything to be perfect. And Bree felt it as a child. She felt guilty about not getting straight A's. When she was a teen, she felt guilty for letting her boyfriend touch her tit. Yep. And when she was married, she felt bad for sending her thank you cards late, and these transgressions were nothing like the sin she was about to commit.
Yes.
Because she is about to do something very terrible, and we are introed to a family meeting of Bree, Rex, Danielle, not the model, and Andrew, the drunk driver.
The drunk driver.
And they are discussing what to do as I don't know that they should be. I think that they should have turned their son in. That is my opinion. And that might differ from yours, Jordan.
No, that is my opinion. And that opinion gets reinforced as the episode goes on.
Absolutely. Yes. So we're
good. Do you just want to dive into Bree's story?
I think we might just have to dive into Bree's because we start
there.
Because
I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
This storyline was shocking for me.
So somebody is like, we should go to the cops. They're like, we can't go to the cops. And then Andrew's like, oh, no, Rex says, this is a hit and run. We can't go to the cops. Like, you're going to go to prison forever. Andrew's like, maybe I can go to Canada. And Danielle makes some remark about, like, that won't work. And Rex is like, statute limitations. And I feel like we're in an SVU episode all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'm like, you didn't rape somebody with statute limitations?
Like, does that apply to, like, a hit and run?
I have no idea. And because Rex says something like, if Juanita dies, there are no statute limitations.
Yeah,
like,
it's manslaughter.
You have manslaughter on your plate. And Andrew is like, it was an accident. And Bree sits her tiny butt down at the head of the table where she belongs. She runs that household. And
yeah, she does.
She, without a speck of emotion, tells everybody what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, we have to go and get rid of this car in somewhere. We have to get rid of this is the evidence. We have to get rid of the car, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to drive it to a bad part of town. We're going to leave the keys in the ignition. Somebody's going to steal it. It's not in our possession. Wherever they find it, we could say it's stolen, and worst comes to worst, we get insurance money.
Which was, like, bad bitch move right there. I mean, I look, if it was for anybody but her stupid like son. Her I'd be like, stupid son. That's great thinking right there. I mean, it is. That's mama bear mode.
Yeah. And they had suggested like selling it. And like, she's like, no, it's not going to work. And everyone's kind of shocked. They're like, who's this bitch? Like, do we know her?
Yeah.
Rex is taken aback and he's confused. And she ends it all by saying, we have to do this because I will not allow my son to go to jail. And Mama Bear came in,
mm-hmm.
claws out.
And she got it done. I mean, and that's in the episode, they do take that. They do exactly that. They take the car to the poor part of town. Someone takes it. They're good to go.
Yeah. And then the rest of the episode is like her trying to figure out if Andrew feels guilty, yeah. really. Like, how to deal with Andrew, because he ends up displaying, like, sociopathic behaviors.
Absolute. Okay, it's actually bananas bonkers how this man acts in this episode. I would commit my son immediately if he started acting like that. Yeah. I would report his ass to the police.
I would have gone to the police. I wouldn't have even been having this family conversation. I would have felt bad in the mama moment, yeah. but he did drunk drive and nearly kill a woman.
Could have been a kid.
Could have been
a
kid.
He was driving down that in like a residential yeah. area.
If it wasn't Juanita, would they care? If it wasn't the old Hispanic woman, I have to say.
I mean, that's part of why he doesn't care.
Sign of the times. I mean, sign of all that is still current. Yeah. Like, they wouldn't care.
No, and no
they
one
don't
cares.
Care. So that's what the top line is. And it's about Bree feeling guilt and Andrew feeling no guilt.
And, like, Bree trying to contemplate, like, not contemplate, but try to understand, like, where they went wrong with their kids. Because she and Rex have that conversation.
Yeah.
Kind of talking about how their kids are fucked up. Like, their kids suck. Danielle's, like, super narcissistic, but she's also, like, a teenage girl, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, Andrew, legit psychopath. Like, he is, okay, I don't like, sorry, maybe not a legit one. Sorry, everybody, that might have been inflammatory to say.
I know, I was like, yes. I'm over here like, yeah, nodding my head, of course, yes.
But, like, I agree. He is acting like a little monster and, like, having no remorse, no guilt. Mommy took care of it. I'm good. Like,
she shouldn't have gone so hard for him.
No.
But she, after she says this in the morning, she knows this is wrong. And Marielle says, but like most sinners, she would worry about her guilt tomorrow. And she puts her little Bible away. And then she does her Bree shit. She's like, we're having pancakes. And Mary Alice from heaven is like, you better pray. You better sit down and pray. So then that leads us into the rest of Bree's story. We do find out that Juanita is just in a coma, if you couldn't mm-hmm. tell from that first conversation.
Yeah.
But I think the next time we catch up with Bree is when her and Rex are leaving the car on Skid Row.
Yeah, and there was a really weird line of dialogue in that scene that I would like to bring up because I'm not sure. It was weird. So they're like talking about leaving the car and Rex is like, do you think this is going to work? Like, why do you think this is going to work? And Bree's like, because I have faith in the poor.
Yes, I noted that line.
What is
as
that
well.
Like a weird like anti like propaganda against poor people? Like, what's happening? Why did they put that line in there?
Yeah, I don't know. I said it was tone deaf.
It was super like, mean.
Poor. I have faith in the poor that they're going to steal a car. I don't.
That was
really
ugly.
Know.
I did not like that line. I was like, all right. Like, gross.
Yeah. They apparently, yeah, they have this conversation in the car while they're waiting. It's a little bit nostalgic. Bree throws it back to when the kids were babies. Mm-hmm. And she's like, who would have known they would have turned out like this? And the music cue is not matching up to what I think the tone should be.
No.
I'm like, your kid literally just committed manslaughter.
Yeah.
Don't be reminiscing about how he was as a baby. She's like, how did they turn out? Where did we go wrong? And Bree's like, were we happy, Rex? Like, weren't we? Like, it didn't turn out like expected. And Rex is like rolling his eyes a little bit, doesn't want to have this conversation. He's like, well, some like person just steal this car already.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to sit in this car with this lady I'm trying to divorce.
Yeah, he says, I don't want to do this. And she's like, we have more to teach them. We need to get across to Andrew how horrible this is. And Rex is like, we can punish it. Like, these okay, all-time worst parents.
What would you even do, though? Like, what would you do in this situation?
Yeah.
And like, okay, you've decided you're not turning your kid in.
I mean, I did feel, I wrote, this is Brock Turner white privilege.
Absolutely.
His dad is like, should we punish him? I'm like, your kid committed a hit and run, drunk driving accident, put a Hispanic woman in a coma, and you don't give a fuck, and you guys are burying the evidence right now. Mm-hmm. I was, like, astounded, so I'm pretty pissed about it.
Yeah, no, it's not okay.
And Bree is like, I still love him. I can't forgive him for growing up so quickly. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening here?
She's, like, babying him. I don't understand it.
It was a bizarre scene that I felt like they clown on poor people here.
Yeah, which was just weird.
They exhibited white privilege at its finest.
To the extreme.
And I'm not a fan of this household this week. So then we catch up with Bree later. She is talking to Andrew one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And he's like, the last few days are stressful. Or she says that. She's like, the last few days have been stressful. If you ever need to talk to somebody... And he interrupts her rudely, abruptly. He's like, I know, you and Dad are there. I don't really need to talk. And
which is crazy. He should know at least to pretend to be remorseful. Something.
Yeah, Bree says, like, no, I mean a therapist.
Yeah, she's like, you should need mental help from this.
He's like, what's a therapist? He's like a typical man.
He's like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, he does say that. He's like, I don't need a therapist. I don't need to talk to anybody. And she's reiterating, you did something fucked up and could have gone to jail for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you're lucky your parents decided to save your ass.
Yeah, so Bree's bothered by this, and she's trying to express it must have stirred up some sort of emotion. Confusion, depression, anything. Like, tell me you're feeling something. She's like, put a dart on the board. Like, what is it? Mm-hmm. Like, put your finger, the smiley face chart that they give you at the doctor. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
He can't do it. He's like, I'm fine. And she pops off of this. She says, you put a woman in a coma. You should feel bad.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
And he's like, do you really want to know how I feel? He's like, I'm sorry that woman got hurt.
Yeah.
But there should never be a but. Yeah. He's like, I'm young. She's old. Her whole life is over. Why should mine be? He says,
my car is gone.
Yeah, my car's dented. It's gone. I'm going to have to bike to school. I'm like, if I were Bree, I'd be calling 911. Like, my son's going to murder me.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Your mom also saved you from looking like a Miami douchebag in your fucking convertible Mustang or whatever it is.
Yeah, no,
like,
this is for the best.
You should be thankful she got rid of that car. she's like, you're not even thankful I got rid of that ugly ass car. Bree is like, you almost killed her, though. Bree is acting reasonably at this point in time.
Yeah, she's shook. And I think maybe the moment is, like, dawning on her that, like, oh, no, like, she, instead of, by not letting him, like, suffer consequences, she's contributed to him being a little monster.
I think she realizes at this point she's feeling extra guilty.
Well, and then she's, like, basically is like, I'll call the cops right now. And he calls her bluff. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he also ends it by saying that she was old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, men are pigs. And then that's what I wrote. He's a sociopath. He basically, yes, is my future. He says everything we've talked about here. I ended everything with all caps, pick up the phone and call the police, Bree.
She should have. Yeah. She should have. Like, this is insane.
That's where it rounds out with her. She's feeling extra guilty. We don't know how Rex is feeling. He's feeling blasé, nonplussed by this.
Yeah.
I was gonna say unplussed. But we don't really see Rex. Danielle's still, I mean, maybe Danielle was hooking up with John at this point. Who knows?
Maybe.
Not going to modeling academy. But it's mostly between these two. And we also see a scene where Andrew and Danielle, like, fist pump over the fact that he, like, got off easy.
Yeah, because remember they go and see Carlos and Gabby for, like, a minute?
Yeah.
It's a short scene, and it's more about Carlos and Gabby's story, so we'll kind of get to that later, but...
But on the way out, like, yeah. Andrew and Danielle, he's like,
I'm in the clear.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Bree is like, what the... She, like, grabs hold
of something around her. Yeah, she's, like, shook, and Rex doesn't, like, notice or something. I don't even know.
Yes. So that is just, I mean, we just went in. That's how it went down with Bree. But another great storyline where we see all types of guilty behavior is with Gabby.
Hmm.
The second person really deeply involved in this Juanita situation.
Yes.
We start off with Gabby at the hospital. She's checking out her nails, filing them down. She's texting people. She's like sending memes out. She's like,
she doesn't give a fuck.
She's just waiting for Juanita to die or hoping that she dies. I was gonna say or wake up, but I don't think she wants that. And she's telling Carlos that we should go home, which is also
let's go home and sleep.
Terrible partner. Your mother is dying, and she's like, don't you have to work? She said
this
something
is
about
like
work.
My question, where I'm almost like, why does Carlos love Gabby so much?
I don't think he does.
They're like, why does he even care?
I think they're like one of those couples that like are just hot people. I mean, I don't think that he's
I was about
hot.
To say.
he's a pickup artist. He has no one love is. But I think it's just those, like, maybe you guys know those couples that like they're just together for companionship, I think.
But they don't even spend any time. Nothing. She spends his money. That's it.
Works out for her. I don't know what Carlos. Okay, it's a trophy wife situation.
I guess. I don't know. He just seems not happy. And he's always suspicious of her and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. It just sounds like a shitty.
But the drama is intoxicating. We
That's
both
true.
Know
some
this.
some people, yeah.
Yeah, so don't get wrapped up in that, people. But John rolls up while this is happening with another underage rose. He has some underage roses in those hands.
Yeah, he does.
And he's sorry about the accident. Carlos does like a chest bump. Thanks, man.
Yeah, Carlos has no fucking idea.
They had a really bro-y, little bro-y. Like,
Carlos
hug.
Loves John.
He
loves
does.
Him.
He does. I was like, your weird ass like young gardener shows up and you're like, man, I need to talk to you about this. John's like, I'm 16.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I have no insight. And he's glad you came. And Carlos is like, I'm going to go down to the chapel and pray. You want to come, bro? And John's like, I do, actually.
Yeah, John's like, yes. Gabby's like, the fuck?
And John is like, I need to pray for sure. He's sweaty. He's crying. And Gabby sees this happen. I don't know if they invite her, but Carlos is kind of like, we need all the prayers we can get. Mm-hmm. And Gabby, just at the sight of John, she pulls out a lipstick vibrator from her purse.
No, for real, though. She basically did.
She stood up. She stood up fast when John entered the room. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you see? I guess that does
happen. She panicked. She was like a little meerkat popping her head up.
So that happens. And then a nurse comes in with a sponge bath for Miss Juanita. And is like, do you want to do it? And Gabby's like, no, thanks.
She's like, hell no.
She's like, I don't even know this woman.
Yeah, what? I'm the trophy wife.
So the next time we catch up with everybody, they're at that lunch with Rex and Bree and the fam.
Yeah.
That's when we see them next. And they're having tea again, which I called out last episode. I'm like, nobody's drinking tea in the afternoon like that. But Rex just goes in. He's like, what's up with the leads? Heard anything about the debt? Like, what's up?
He's like, we don't have anything to do with this or anything, but I need all the details.
Yeah, he's like, I need specific details. Yes. Like, so I can cover up things.
He's like, I need to cover up a crime.
Yeah, Gabby says no leads, but they'll be able to, like, figure out the make and model of the car. And Rex and Bree make eye contact. They're like, thank God for our faith in the homeless. The kids are sitting on the couch, just taking this all in. No eyewitnesses. It's not optimistic. She's still in a coma. And Danielle, and I think it's Danielle, she says, we put her on our prayer list at church. And I am like, they are hitting the religion aspect home this episode. I guess they had to. Guilt and sin and all this. Carlos goes on a bit of a tangent here. He says, we need to have faith in the kids. Like, they're our future legacy. They make everything worthwhile. What do we have, like, as we get older? Like, what do we have as we die? Like, we're going to be gone and they're going to be left. And it's like one of those weird, like, speeches your uncle gives you when he's drunk at a holiday.
And he's like, why don't you have kids yet?
When
and
he's
then
like,
goes into a spiel.
Yeah, when he's feeling a little overly emotional about his midlife crisis. Like, this is the speech he gives you. Mm-hmm. So he also announces that we are trying to start a family. Me and Gabby are trying to start a family. Gabby is like, who, me?
Yeah, she's like, we recently decided this. What? Like, because he's like, Bree's like, when did you decide that?
Well, Bree's like, congratulations, you are fulfilled. She's like,
Bree's like,
she perks up. She's like, what? Really? I can't wait.
She's like, we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah. And Gabby's like, no.
No.
She leaves him on red.
Yeah.
She leaves him on
She's
red.
Like, freezes. She breaks. Like, Gabby just breaks as a human.
Yeah. She says it's a recent development. And Carlos blows up at her. He's like, it's a great time to hash this issue out right now.
Yeah, and she's like, well, fine, if we're doing that then. And she's like, well, when we got married, you said that, like, they that was the deal.
They had a deal.
He's like, deals are meant to be renegotiated.
That's going to be the quote this week, you guys.
Yeah, I think that should
That's going to be on our Instagram. Yeah. Deals aren't meant to be... No! That's fucked up. No kids. If you are agreeing that with your partner before
and you marry them, like, you're legally binding yourself to them and that was your agreement, that's fucked up to, like, be like, no.
Done deal. That's just about to be an accident then. Because you agreed no kids, so you're not going to be having them on purpose.
And what's annoying is, like, roles reversed, it would be wrong, too, if Gabby was like, I want kids, and Carlos was like, yes, and then decides no. Like, it sucks either way. Like, why would he fucking...
Yeah, I mean, sucks that you changed your mind, Carlos, but you agreed.
Yeah.
I hope it's in the prenup or something. I hope there's a contractual agreement that can't be renegotiated.
Yeah, fuck that.
I feel for her. So this is all not going well, and Bree and Rex are picking up on the tension in the room, and they're like, we should fucking go.
Yes, they're like, we gotta get the fuck out of here.
So somebody who can read a room, thank God. And as they're leaving, that's when we see the fist pump with Danielle and Andrew. And then Gabby, the next time we see her, she is trying to confront John, I believe.
Yeah. And he basically just doesn't want, he's like guilty. He doesn't want anything to do with her. He tells her that he went to confessional to Father, whatever the fuck.
Crowley.
The guy, Crowley. And like told him everything, at which point Gabby's not having it. And I'm like, what do you mean everything? You can like confess you had an affair without talking about every time you fucked. Like what? Because she's like, that time at the truck stop in the alley?
And okay, he's like, that's, yeah. Okay, I made a note. I was like, so since the writers are no longer featuring them fucking, they're going to have to feature this, like, monologue of them fucking. Like, they mention that specific time so that we as the viewers can imagine it. I'm like, I don't want to imagine this anymore.
I don't want to think about it. It's but gross.
She confronts him, and he says, I can't sleep over this. I'm sick by what I did that night, and I'm moving on with Danielle. And...
he's like, I'm going to move on with someone age appropriate who's not married.
Yeah, Gabby doesn't have a conscience whatsoever. She says, we weren't driving.
She's like, we didn't do anything.
We didn't chase her. And he's like, you didn't get the fuck beaten out of you by her.
And they did kind of chase her.
He chased her.
Yeah.
Because Juanita beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And he was assaulting her, so... I mean, good for Juanita.
Yeah, good for her.
Knows that Krav Maga.
Yeah, she got him.
And John comes back, says she wouldn't have been here if there wasn't an affair. And Gabby is, like, sick of everybody. She's going to be a lesbian after this. Yeah. She's like, you're dumb. Because she's just fed up at this point. I don't agree with her at all. I think, obviously, John is in the right. But Gabby as the character is tired. And she's like, we didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, that's when John says, I confess, tells her the shebang, and she's turned off. So the next time we see Gabby, she's once again sitting around in Juanita's hotel room, hospital room, and Father Crowley comes to visit her, and Gabby is stiff as a board.
Yep.
She's like, this man knows I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
He knows, like, when you know somebody knows your secret, you're like... It used to happen to me in college when I would, like, know that somebody knew that I'd hooked up with somebody that I didn't want them to know about. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, ugh, yeah. No, I can't believe you know. And so she's feeling uncomfy, and she's like, glad you could pray for Juanita. Like, thanks.
Yeah, she's like, thanks for everything, Father.
Making some small talk. And then she's like, while you're here, I have a couple questions about, like, what you can reveal.
Yes.
So while I have your attention...
Well, and he's like, I can't tell anybody anything. But then he's just, like, staring her down. And it's like, okay, I don't think you're supposed to do that either, though, sir. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and he says, church is clear that you are going to hell if you commit a mortal sin and die without repenting. And Gabby's like, can I repent tomorrow?
She's like, in, like, 30 years.
She literally says, can I repent when I'm 75? And I'm like, why are you holding, I guess.
You know that, first of all, she's not dumb. She knows the answer.
Yeah, I don't know how religious any of our listeners are, if you believe that or not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the situation is. But, yeah, that's not how it works either way.
No.
And I don't know why she's even worried. She clearly isn't that religious, so...
Like, but she isn't really that worried, though. I think she's just more worried that the secret's gonna get out more than anything.
He's like, don't wait. And she's like, watch me. And so, at the end, like, it comes... to a final thought where it's like, we're all responsible for the choices we make and like, don't you want to be a good person? That's what Carlos says to her.
Yeah.
And she says, I want to be happy. And I think he says, that's the answer of a selfish child.
And she says, I know.
I don't. Okay. I hate everything about her storyline but that.
I mean, I'm not a religious person, so in my mind, like, I think there is a happy medium between being happy and being a good person. Like, you can find happiness while not being an asshole.
And a total dick. Yeah. there's a good medium.
But there also is, like, something to the fact that, like, you don't always have to sacrifice everything for others. It's okay.
You should be a good person. You should try your best to be a good person and be good to other people.
Exactly.
This is my life philosophy.
But, like, Gabby's, like, going way too hard in, like, the almost, like, hedonistic way. I don't know. Whereas, like, the priest and Carlos are like, no, you need to be perfect and good. And it's like, shut the fuck up, Carlos. You committed a hate crime. Like,
well, I don't necessarily think it's selfish to want to be happy.
No, but I think, like, her, like, complete lack of, like, she doesn't care about Mama Solis, like, yeah, getting hit by a car.
Yeah, I mean, she is, like, maybe a step above Andrew.
Yeah.
In terms of a conscience.
Yeah. And I think that's the only, like, I absolutely think she should want to be happy, but she should maybe look for happiness in things that don't hurt other people.
Like, yeah, because Carlos brings up, like, we only just buy shit. Like, what is our life about? And she's like, if you're buying the right things, so, like.
But what is the right thing? Because we spent the first two episodes of the show with her loving the fact that John was giving her, like, a rose and not liking the material things that Carlos is buying her. So clearly she isn't happy with that.
I think she's just confused.
So it's like for her to say that is like literally the opposite of what she said the first like handful of episodes.
I like that she said it with conviction.
Yeah, like, that. But she even says she's like, I wanted all the wrong things. That's what she tells John in episode one.
Yeah.
And here she is saying the opposite of that.
Well, now she's lost him. So she's just a woman with a mission to make everybody miserable. Yeah. She's on her breakup diet right now. She's hating everything.
Yeah.
Losing tons of weight. So that's where we leave off. I'm always pretty disappointed with Gabby.
Yeah.
My least favorite. I'll just say it. So we can hit Susan next.
Yeah.
Susan's always a beam of light in this show.
Yeah.
And this storyline is... It's Susan's finest, I'd say.
This episode...
Of, like, adorkable behavior that gets you in hot water.
Yes, like, shenanigans. Susan gets into shenanigans.
Yes, if there's a... Yes. if there ever were shenanigans. So, it starts off at Mike's, obviously.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. So, he's looking really rugged, I had to say.
He looks hot. Oof. I wrote that down. I was like, Mike looks hot.
He is dirty. He is wearing a, like, wife beater. Looks like he's doing work.
Oh, hell yeah. I was like, all right, Mr. Delfino. Okay.
Wow. I do feel like a middle-aged woman. I'm like, ooh, he's looking handsome.
The most, like, basic-looking white man. Like, that's what he looks like. Like, and I'm sitting here like, yes.
He looks like he could be in a stock photo.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm, like, disappointed in myself.
I am, too.
Like, oh, my God.
I promise this isn't a reflection of my so I continued reading my notes and I'm like, this is how I said this is how I want my man to look all the time.
Wait, what?
This is how I want my man to look all the time. Like Mike walking down the stairs looking rugged like that,
just dirty. Just, like, dirty and sweaty? I guess, all the time?
No, I guess I'm feeling a certain type of way. I want him...
Fellows, if you're listening,
continue.
Just roll up to Julia, dirty, after listening.
I said, I want him doing manual labor. If you're in construction, call me. Okay, I don't know what was going on with these notes, but...
You know what? He did look good, though. I agree.
Just to emphasize, like, how good Mike looks. Anyways, I start my next note. Anyways. over that. He's removing rotten wood from upstairs. He tells Susan this. Susan's there because Julie said that Mike stopped by, so they're doing a little game of telephone, and he said, I was thinking we could go up to this vineyard and go wine tasting tomorrow, like, wanna come?
And he's like, dinner, dancing.
Yeah, and Susan doesn't even let him finish his sentence. She's like, 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
How'd it go? Yeah? Yeah? Good? We good?
Yeah.
She's on it.
But then they're like, it's a far drive, so they get a hotel. I'm like, is this their first real date?
Yeah, this is our first date, and he's like, let's go wine tasting and fuck.
Yeah, in a room without your daughter around is basically what he's saying.
Yeah, he suggests dancing, and I'm like, no, okay, although I did harp on the fact that Mike looked rugged, I also don't think this man can dance.
He seemed pretty confident about taking her dancing.
He looks like a man I would never want to see dance.
Fair enough.
But
I think that's a very fair thing to say.
Either way, Susan's like a little bit thrown off by the hotel. Mm-hmm. She's like, a hotel? Mike's like, yeah. Like, they both know. It's like when you know it's going to happen, but nobody's seeing
it. She has
it.
To play a little coy.
Yeah. And I think this is a nice time in their relationship and any relationship with, like, that tension. So she's like, let's make that reservation. He's like, I already did.
Yeah, he's like, I have a list. I printed a list of hotels.
It was cute. And Bongo comes over. So he runs upstairs to go grab what he printed out. Bongo rolls over to Susan, who he apparently likes Susan now after barking at her incessantly for an episode.
Yeah.
And she's like, want a treat? She just opens his cupboard. This is a psychopathic move as well.
I think
you
so too.
You just fucking opened his cupboard. You're not dating him yet. And instead of finding a treat, she finds a gun and just bands of cash, you guys.
So much cash. Yes. So much cash.
Like thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And she like looks at it doe-eyed, scared. I'm like, I mean, there's thousands of dollars in there. I just would have asked straight up, I think, but he's also a bad spy for just leaving it in his cupboard, like, unattended, just raw. Yeah,
not
like
even
that.
Trying to hide it.
Not hidden. So Susan's worried, and he ends up talking on the phone to his Tyler, and Susan's just standing there looking awkward. And he's, like, talking to this guy, the Tyler or the lumber guy, I don't know, and he's like, I can't do tomorrow. I can't do it. I have plans. And Susan's like, I can let him in.
Yeah.
And Mike is like, no. And Susan's like, no, really, it's not a problem.
Yeah, because she wants to snoop.
Yeah. So he ends up giving into this, and he's like, sure. He calls her his neighbor, too. He's like, my neighbor will be here. You know when, like, you're seeing a guy, and he's like, my friend.
He, like, says it with so much conviction. My friend.
This is my friend.
This is my neighbor.
This is my friend, Julia. And I'm like,
oh, you're like, all right, I'm gonna go run away now. Yeah. This is great.
So that's what he did. He called her his neighbor, and it was rude. So she goes home to pack and tells Julie about the money, and Julie has the right attitude as always and is like, you're freaking out about it, he's rich.
Yeah, she's like, he has a lot of money, what's wrong with that?
And she's like, you're just making excuses. And she's like, he could be in the mob.
Oh my god, Susan is so dramatic.
And Julie's like, well then why are you going on the trip?
Susan's like packing as she's saying this.
Yeah, Julie is like, you need to get laid. She's like, you need to get out. Like, just do it. And she makes fun of her mom's sweater, which, good. Good thing that Julie's around. Susan would be lost.
She really would be.
And she talks some sense to her. And she's like, I need you to, like, go on this trip. You're driving me insane. Then Susan goes over there to take care of things with the lumber guy. She decides to snoop. We knew this was going to happen. And she just looks at the cash. She doesn't snoop more. She kind of just fondles the cash. She grabs the gun, and she holds it like it's dirty laundry, mm-hmm. like a gnarly something. She holds it like 10 feet away, arm's length.
She didn't even have to pick it up.
She didn't have to touch the gun.
No.
But she's like carrying this gun and money around the house. She ends up counting all the money like a like a banker out on his coffee table, mm-hmm. like stacks of thousands. And the lumber guy, that was after the lumber guy left. She let him in, he left, and he like tries to come back, and she freaks out. The lumber guy's like, you forgot your receipt. And she puts all the money in her shirt, mm-hmm. carries it upstairs, puts it in the sink, and then the lumber guy leaves, doesn't even do anything. And she's like, perfect. So she's looking out the window. She, for some reason, hops onto the floor and, like, falls through the ceiling. Gets stuck in the ceiling.
She gets stuck. She doesn't fall through. She's hanging there. Those long, dangly legs just hanging there.
Yeah, so she hangs there for a bit, and Bongo comes upstairs. She can't lift herself out. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the stitches. And Bongo comes over, and she's talking to the dog. I did say this was a great moment of acting for Terry Hatcher, a scene with a dog.
Yeah, she's getting to, like, talk to this dog. Like, Lassie would have had 911 here by now.
Yeah, she's like, Bongo, get this, like, towel. Help me out. And Bongo drinks toilet water instead. It's just this whole ordeal. It's a typical Susan thing. And she's stuck there until further notice. Until Mike gets home.
Until Mike gets home. And he helps her out.
Yeah, so
but then notices all the cash.
Yeah, he helps her out and he's like, you silly girl. And then he looks in that sink and he's like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, everything changes. Yeah. His whole demeanor changes.
On a dime. And she makes up a shitty ass story about what even happened, I think. I don't. She made up a story about why there was a crow in there, bongo broad and a crow. And then she's like, the money, I don't really know. She's just not good at thinking on her feet, as we've seen time and again.
Yeah.
He tells her to get the fuck out. Susan's like, weren't we gonna have sex? We were so close. And he's like, no, no, get out. Susan comes back around because she realized that she's not gonna get laid anymore. And she says, are we, like, really over, kind of? That's what she poses. And he's like, yeah, you snooped through my stuff and went through my house. So, yeah, like, we're off. The date is still off.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know how, like, is she stupid? Like, what did she think was going to happen?
Yeah, her response is not very smart either. She says, it's not my fault. I stumbled upon your shit.
So, and, like, I mean, it's not, like, he shouldn't have just had that I don't know. You're right. Like, it was pretty, it was, like, an obvious spot, I feel like.
It was super obvious, yeah. But you shouldn't have been looking in his cupboards. Like, you don't just go to somebody's house if you've... You're not even dating him yet. You're not even dating him. You've never even fucked him. Like,
no,
and you're opening his cupboards.
Yeah, that was wrong. And I also think, like, her reaction is, like, shocked that he would be upset by that. I would be fucking pissed if someone just went through my shit that I didn't know.
I would be bothered.
I'd be like, third get time. Get the fuck out of my house, like, for real.
Third time hanging out, and they're like, even if I had something conspicuous around, don't fucking take it out. Come back, snoop through it, count my money, do the thing. She went above and beyond. If she had just seen it the first time and, like, let it go, I think they would have still fucked. But she had to go over there and count the money and do all this weird shit. And it's, like, it is crossing a line and it's invasive. So
it was super invasive.
And Mike says, I'm a good guy and you should know that by now. Which,
but also, like,
I don't really believe
that. I don't think they haven't spent that much time together.
Yeah, we don't know that you're a good guy, really, yeah. Just because you picked her up from Skid Row.
One time you helped her out. One time. One you should time. Know I'm a good guy.
And they land on the maybe we shouldn't be dating conversation. Susan brings it up first, and Mike is like, yeah, I guess so. And Susan did that as a Hail Mary, and it failed.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
It fucking failed.
We've all done it. We're like, I guess we're just not right for each other. And your boyfriend's like, yeah, I guess not. And you're like,
oh. You're like, wait. I take it back. That was a joke. Yeah. Oh, no.
You were like, you were supposed to say no.
Yeah.
So that's what she did. It didn't work out. She walks her sorry ass home. That's always how it ends for her.
Literally. Oh, my Every episode, she ends up walking her sorry ass home for something.
So then she's about to go cry to Lynette about it. Lynette's having a breakdown of her own, which we're going to get to in a minute. And Lynette just hands her kids over to Susan, which is the worst thing I could imagine after, like, a breakup like that. It was a somewhat of a breakup, I would say. And she's like, you're babysitting now. And Lynette just fucking rolls away in the minivan. And Susan's like, this is the worst night of my life. I was supposed to be dancing with Mike tonight right now. Yeah. And now I'm here. Susan didn't go to the vineyard. After she watches the kids, I guess, she drinks wine by herself. And she's staring at Mike's house. We see a shot of Mike. He's staring at Susan's house. He's not over this. And I'm like, the tension is killing me. And he has some, like, hot, weird pics of her that he was doing for spy ops missions. Yep. And he's, like, looking at the pictures of her. And, he goes over there and she opens the door and he's like, I can't lose you. Ask me anything you want. And she doesn't ask anything. She just, like, eats his face.
This scene. Okay. I remember when I watched this as a young person, as a child, being like, this is hot. Like, I was like a young, like a teen. I was like, whoa. Like, yeah. Of all the things we've seen on this show, I think this is the hottest scene.
This was pretty hot. They break a glass at some point. I noted that. I'm like, I heard the glass break and I'm like, they're going hard.
Well, maybe it's because we've had obviously episodes to build up to this. And I think the two actors have really good chemistry. Like, I buy it. I'm like, the way it's shot,
Yeah.
It's hot.
I said it was hot and dangerous.
Yeah, it caught me like a little like, ooh.
So that's where we end up. And that scene is interwoven and cut into another scene that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
We're getting like flashes of them fucking and yeah. flashes of this other thing.
Which is crazy. Yeah. It's like it. One minute you're getting wet watching it and the next you're like, oh, like what the fuck?
Yeah. And I can't believe it. Are we already at our last housewife, Lynette? Yeah. We save Lynette to the end because this is what we cried about.
Full cry.
You're like, I don't know about me. I was crying about Gabby.
No, we already talked about what I cried about.
Yeah,
no.
we both cried about this.
So as we all know, Lynette has been struggling with a little bit of a pill addiction.
Just a bit.
And this episode, like, her storyline opens with her and an acupuncturist. But she gets acupuncture and her children are being crazy. But, like, Lynette basically can't relax. Like, the drugs have fucked her system up. She can't sleep when she needs to sleep. She can't stay awake when she needs to be awake.
If you've never taken these drugs before, or like amphetamines or just uppers or whatever, like just imagine like drinking 5 Red Bulls in 1 hour sitting and then like going throughout the rest of your day.
And doing that a lot.
Yeah, you're energized as fuck for a couple hours. You're feeling like you're on another universe.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm like so motivated, blah, blah, blah. Like you're feeling this energy and then like, you crash. But even if you're crashing, your mood will be down, but you still can't sleep because, like, your physical body is still feeling the effects of these uppers. Mm-hmm. So you end up, it's a bit different because a caffeine crash, you will eventually sleep, but these are, like, pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah, it's and a whole other game.
It's a whole other game that's, like, fucking with your brain chemistry.
Yeah, and so we're seeing it in Lynette, and she basically has like a borderline breakdown to the acupuncturist and gets her to give her like these Chinese herbs. They're supposed to help her sleep.
Okay, I thought she was giving her weed at first.
I didn't know what was happening. I thought they were gonna go with that.
She like pulls it out from a jar in the back and it's like in a plastic baggie. And I'm like, is this just like a weed deal? I don't understand.
That was wild.
But it's some sort of herb. And I wrote weed. Tom for sure already has some of that somewhere. But I like this. I did like this alternative medicine plug in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. This was really foreign at the time. Now I feel like it's reached a sense of normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting to see in the aughts, the 2000s. But she goes home and she tries to drink this tea from the lady. And she's on her couch with the blanket over her. She's like, I gotta get some sleep. And then someone comes knocking at the door and it's a Boy Scout meeting and like 30 boys go into the room.
Too many children.
And I was like, okay, aren't the Boy Scouts led by boy, like men?
Yeah, where are the dads?
I was like, why are these women leading the Boy Scouts? But she's falling asleep, teaching them knots. And I feel this. My mom used to work nights, so this really hit home. My mom did not have an ADD pill med. She wasn't stealing meds, but she worked nights at the ER.
Yeah.
And like, she was like this level of tired. Lynette's falling asleep. And the boys are not really affected. Her sons are just like, whatever. And she says break time and they run off and be hellions somewhere. Then she hits that pill bottle again while they're off playing during this meeting. She apparently re-upped this medication. And so then we have more chaos at the house the next night. The kids are literally banging on pans. And I'm like, that is your fault for letting them access the pans. Get some child locks.
It's like... pissed me off just watching it. I was like, oh,
it pissed me off, but that's totally avoidable. Don't let your kids have access to that.
No,
I'm not a parent.
Touching the radio and shit. My head was hurting just watching the scene.
It was out of control. And Lynette is like screaming on the phone at Tom to come home, and she's losing her mind, and it escalates. She's screaming at Tom, and then she's screaming at her kids, and then she literally throws something out the window and breaks the glass, and you're just like, oh my God. This woman is off the rails.
Well, and, like, the way it's filmed, like, it's, like, slow motion kind of.
Yeah, there's, like...
It's surreal.
The music cue is also very mystical. Maybe that's the wrong word.
It almost sounds like a kid song.
Yeah, it sounds like a 1950s, like, ballad.
Yeah.
Where it's, an upbeat tune. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a hoppy tune.
Yeah.
And upbeat. That's the word I was looking for. But it was a stark difference to what was going on, and it was slow motion. Mm-hmm. It was good editing. That's also one of the reasons I was like, this didn't win an Emmy. Like, this was really
good. It's a really beautiful scene, the way they do it.
Yeah, and it's beautiful because it ends up that she sees Mary Alice.
Yeah.
In this window, like, shining through the light, like, a sort of angel mm-hmm. or spirit. And it's Mary Alice just judging her. But it's Mary Alice, and she hands her a gun.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't stop. Like, Lynette
puts it to her head.
Like, that scene's crazy because it keeps going.
It's chilling.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most riveting things to, like, ever happen on the show, I think. I mean, even on television, that overall of everything I've ever watched, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is kind of crazy.
It was crazy.
And Lynette, that's when after that, we see Lynette hand her children to Susan and drive away.
Mm-hmm. Because she, like, it's all a dream.
It's basically a dream. Yeah, this isn't real.
Yeah, of course. I at first thought that the part where she broke the window was real.
I thought that was real. But yeah, we snap back to reality, and she's just down with her head on the table.
Yeah.
And, like, freaking out, and her kids are still being hellions. Mm-hmm. So Lynette drives to a soccer field, and she's just sitting there, like, looking at the pill bottle. Mm-hmm. And Susan and Bree are good ass friends. They go and find her in their little bucket. Bree's wearing a bucket hat.
I do like that Susan, like, so this is after she and Mike had that throwdown, and yeah, she's, you know, the kids are shoved onto her, and I do appreciate Susan's commitment to, this is where I feel like we see the women be real friends.
Yeah.
Like, Susan knows, like, oh no, we have to go find Lynette. Like, something bad is happening.
Yeah, 8 episodes in, probably five years of living together on this lane.
But I do appreciate Susan being like, oh, we need to focus on Lynette right now.
Yeah, and they go up to Lynette, and Lynette's looking like a zombie, and she just says it. She's like, I have an addiction. Mm-hmm. I have a problem.
She tells them everything.
She said the pills gave me energy, and I can't sleep now, and, like, everything's out of whack, and, like, essentially she's suicidal. Mm-hmm. Like, although that was a dreamlike sequence where Mary Alice Young hands her a gun, I think it was pointing to the fact that she's feeling these suicidal ways, which mm-hmm. is where eventually, like, that kind of state of mind leads you, because you're just not in your right mind. And she's like, I love my kids, and I'm sorry that they have me as a mother.
Yeah.
And that's really what made me emotional. Like,
oh no, it's super sad. Like, she feels like she's failing at everything.
She's drowning.
Yeah, she feels like she's drowning.
I'm not a good mom. I can't do it. I'm a failure. It's humiliating, she says. And
oh fuck.
And her friends are gassing her up. That's also what happens. Like, her friends are like, you just need some help.
And I'm like, and they, like, tell stories about, like, when they felt like they were going insane.
Yeah. And Lynette is like, that's embarrassing for me. And I've never felt more seen. Like, it's embarrassing. Like, I always used to feel that way. I'm like, it's embarrassing to want help.
Or to tell people when you need help, but that you have made a mistake.
Yeah.
Or that you failed in some way. Or you feel like you failed.
That you have a fucking problem. Yeah. Like, you have a drug problem. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a serious thing. And she can't say that, like, because she's in this hard place. And Susan and Bree tell her that we hated our kids, too. Like, mm-hmm. we felt this way. And Susan was like, I cried every hour of every day. And Bree is like, I just wanted them. I didn't even want them around.
Yeah.
And Lynette says, why didn't you tell me?
She's like, we should tell each other these things.
And they were just like, nobody likes to admit that they can't handle the pressure. And they, like, see her for who she is. Mm-hmm. And it's just the truest moment of friendship. Like,
that
existed. And I think that this is something that, like, maybe every woman feels, where they're like, I can't need help. And I think that's how men feel, too. I can't need help. I can't ask for help. I can't have people know, like, I can't handle the pressure and feeling like a failure.
And I think, like, part of it, too, is, like, when you're a mother, like, something that the show kind of tackles at times is, like, moms are expected to always be able to handle everything in that arena. And Lynette is struggling in the sense that she has 4 unruly children. And, like, it's to feel like a failure at something that, quote unquote, not me saying this, but the universe has said that women are supposed to be able to do this well.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, something that Lynette, like, struggles with.
Yeah. It was just the truest iteration of friendship, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And, like, this was just written so well. And Lynette's acting, or not Lynette, but the actress whatever her name is, she, like, killed it. The acting, she, it just felt so real. It felt so real.
She's it felt extremely real. I forget sometimes. I'm like, oh, this isn't Felicity real. Felicity
Huffman, that's her name. I'm like, I couldn't even remember. I'm just like, it was so real.
No, Felicity Huffman's so good. And, like, in this scene, and the scene where she has, like, the hallucination or dream or whatever is incredible. Like, when she, her whole performance in this episode is truly crazy. It was
impressive. I can't believe she didn't win something. But she ends up seeing Mary Alice Young at the end. Mm-hmm. We assume, stops taking the pills.
Yeah.
And she's at the park. Well, she's not, I mean, it's a dream-like sequence again. She's, like, playing with Penny, the baby, mm-hmm. and the kids are playing soccer. She's, like, at the park, and she sees Mary Alice Young, like, step out from behind a tree in the corner of the park, and they smile at each other. And, like, I think I liked that it wasn't as religious. That felt, like, more spiritual to me.
I agree.
Like, connecting with your friend who's passed on.
And it's, like, coping with, like, the grief. I almost feel like this was, like, one of the first instances of grief that we see. Yeah. And, like, how, like, someone in your arena killing themselves for something that you might also be struggling with, because they still don't really know why Mary Alice killed herself. Yeah. Like, that's going to have a serious effect on you when you feel like you're drowning and you see the fact that your friend just fucking shot herself, like, living in a similar situation.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, a really interesting, like, moment in that sense. And yeah, I did like that it wasn't like you're going to hell for sinning scene, because we already got one of those.
We have the full spectrum as always. So they connect, they smile, and Lynette is finally sleeping. It's a dream. So we're like, thank God that woman needs sleep.
Yeah.
So let us know if you cried.
Yeah, let us know.
I bawled my eyes out. So to round up one thing, well, we have two more things to round up. We're going to try and go fast. But
yeah,
we catch up with Edie and Mrs. Huber.
They get into a fight, basically.
Because Edie is still living there. And Edie rolls up hot. She's like, give me my $40 back.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Huber's like, what, 40 bucks? She's like, the 40 that you stole.
Yeah.
And they get into an argument about it. Mrs. Huber is like, you're skanky. You have parade men through here all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. And Edie won't apologize for having a healthy sex life. Mrs. Huber's like, I have to burn the sheets. Edie doesn't think this is funny. And they're arguing about the money. And Edie's like, I know that you have problems with the money. You're on the phone with the bank all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Huber just has had it, and she's like, you are spying on me. And I'm like, is it really spying if you're talking loudly in your own, like, home? And she overhears, but whatever. Yeah. That's a different conversation. It's eavesdropping. And Miss Huber is like, you need to get out of here by tomorrow. And Edie's like, I'll do you a better amount now.
Yeah, she's like, bye, bitch. She's
like, I don't even care. But also, I noted that Mrs. Huber called Edie and her good friend, like, best my friend. Best friend. And I wrote, what do they even do
best
together?
Friend. Best friend. I'm like, friends.
What do they have in common?
I know nothing.
I don't get it.
They're both catty. That's about it.
Yeah. So that's what goes down with them. And Mrs. Huber did steal the money, though. After Edie leaves, she pulls it out of her bra. So trouble in paradise there. And this ties into Paul's storyline. Mm-hmm. And Paul is hanging out somewhere watching videos of Mary Alice Young with Shaft. And they're planning on how to do this hit.
Yeah.
On Edie.
What's going to happen to Edie?
And he's like, how you going to do it? Is she going to suffer?
Yeah. This shit's wild.
He said, no, she'll disappear and you'll go back to your life. Okay, this is like, if you can only imagine, we're getting cuts of this in between, like, Susan being stuck in a room.
I know. The tone's all over the place of this episode. Like, this, I mean, I guess this is meant to be serious, and we're just laughing at it. So, to be fair.
He says, before you kill her, can you get some answers, bro? Like, can you get some answers for me? And the PI is like, you can't give in to curiosity. You're going to feel guilty, and guilt leads to talking, and you need to shut up. And once And then, like, he says, once I walk away with the cash, there's going to be a murder and we'll never talk again. So are you sure this is what you want? And
yeah.
He's like, my wife is dead because of Edie. And so, yes, I do. And I'm like, you're jumping so far ahead of yourself. You have no proof.
Yeah, no. This shit's, it's not enough. It's once like Mrs. again. Huber. It's like Martha with the fucking, the measuring cup. It's like, bitch, that's not enough.
Not proof.
Yeah.
These people need to get better at this. So PI guy is in the middle of nowhere with a gun and Edie rolls up and
because she's going to like
sell him a condominium. Yeah. She's trying to sell him on the idea of building like a condominium because apparently she works in real estate.
Yeah.
And she does not give him a presentation or anything. She has things written down on her little like construction paper again. Yeah. She has like numbers written down and she's like, this is what I was thinking. And he's like, where'd you get this paper? Because it's the same paper. Thank God he
thought to ask that.
Yeah. He's like, I can't give you answers, but I will ask about the paper. And she's like, oh, this isn't my paper. I stole it from my best friend, I think, Mrs. Huber.
Well, what's crazy is, like, look, now that we're sitting here, it's like, they literally had that whole scene about the $40 just so she could later have the line, we steal from each other all the time.
Yeah,
that was all that was to set up that line so she could tell him that she stole the paper.
So she's like, we steal, that's our friendship.
Yeah.
I think she says that. Well, that's our friendship. And the PI is like, what?
He's like, oh, shit.
He's like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
So he delivers this news to Paul, and it was Mrs. Huber all along. We almost killed an innocent woman, and Paul is like, falling apart over this. He says, the shaft is like, I don't do refunds, so we have to kill somebody at this point.
I got the money, so you might as well let me kill her.
Paul is tearing up, nightmares, guilt. He's like, just keep the money. I don't even care. He's like, Mary Alice wouldn't have wanted this. She would have never, no, this isn't the answer. And Paul goes to Mrs. Huber, and he's on a mission. She's coming over to the store, and he's like, let me help you with those groceries. Walks into her house, breaks and enters. And he notices that there's ants, and there's, like, he uses it to reference a fly problem.
Yeah.
With Mary. Okay, this was inventive writing. He's like, we had a fly problem at our house, and Mary Alice couldn't solve it, but because she couldn't kill them, she wouldn't even hurt a fly. She was so innocent. And Mrs. Huber is like, okay. She's like, you messed up with
flies.
She's
like acting like she's not the queen of, like, remember when she gave the mincemeat speech to Susan? Yes. Like, she's the queen of telling irreverent shit so she can make a point. Like, shut the fuck
up. And Paul shows her the note and he's like, I know that you did this. And Mrs. Huber is like, what are you doing here? What are you doing? And she doesn't admit right away that she did it, but she says, my husband died and left me with nothing, essentially, and I was desperate for money, and I'd rather take it from a bad person than a good one. And Mrs. Huber, let's recall a couple episodes ago, was preaching around the neighborhood about getting clothes for Edie because she's so religious at church, and Paul is like, she was good, and Mrs. Huber is like, she left a motherless child, so what's up with that?
But she's making some bold moves to a man who's, what, 6'5", like, towering over her in the dark.
And like, she said, suicide is a sin.
She's a dumb bitch that one.
She didn't stop there.
You know what's crazy is, we should just say what happens and we'll dissect it.
So she says, I don't even feel bad. And she's like, she didn't kill herself because of me. She didn't kill herself because of that note. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know, Mrs. Huber does have a point there, but she says, this is the line that puts everything over the edge. I pray for Mary Alice, and she fucking needs it. She needs it.
She just, she's asking for it at this point.
What do you guys think Paul does? What do you think?
I love this moment, and I have to tell you, I love that the blender comes back into play.
He smashes her over the fucking head with a blender.
The blender.
And she's not dead, and she fights back, and he strangles her.
And then wraps her up in a rug.
Wraps her in a rug. I wrote that down to you. I was like, wraps her in a rug.
Wraps her up in a fucking rug. Okay. You know what? She was poking the beast. I'm sorry. You're talking to a guy whose wife suddenly died. He has just found out that you're the one that was blackmailing her about some, you know, whatever. Yeah. And drove her to suicide. Why the fuck would she say all that dumb shit? She's a lonely old lady in her house. No one's going to look for her.
Nobody's going to. Yeah, I ask that all the time to my friend. I think I might have asked you. I definitely asked my other friend, my other bestie. I was like, if I die, like, you'd probably be the first person to notice. Like,
I have it set on my iPhone. You can, like, create emergency contacts where if I ever call 911, you're, like, it'll tell you where my location is.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so, I mean, you're one of them. Jordan and I share locations already. When she stopped on accident one day because her phone reset, and I was like, why'd you stop sharing your location?
No, did it to everybody. Yeah. Everyone's like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah, but I was like, people at work might notice I was gone, but definitely, like, the two people I text every day on the reg, like... So, yeah, Mrs. Heber, though, nobody's going to notice.
No, no one gives a... Well, she's a bitch.
And this was being intercut with, like, the sex scene from Mike and Susan. Because yeah, so- Mike is a spy and he was busy getting it on.
So, while, yeah, so while they're fucking, it's cutting from that to, like, Paul just beating this lady with a blunder.
You guys, it was, like, my, like, it was pornographic to me.
I can't. Oh, my God. Love me some sex and murder. Yeah.
Watching that with a boy later.
Juxtaposed.
Yes. So that's where we ended up with all the storylines. So we're left with some mysteries. We no longer have the mystery of who wrote the note.
No, but we still don't know what she was blackmailing them for.
Yeah, we're not quite clear. We know it's about Dana the baby, but
that's all we got.
That's all we know. But also, I want to talk about the trunk. Whatever happened with the trunk that Paul did a terrible job at throwing
that
over
came
the
back to the surface, yeah, and that the cops have.
There was a trunk, the tape where we heard that Mary Alice's name was really Angela,
and it's all gonna, I feel like we're gonna start seeing more of that. We've solved one part of the mystery.
Yeah, we don't really have a Susan Mike will they won't they. Now it's a will they won't they get married.
Now it's like, what's Mike doing?
Yeah, also, who is Mike still? We have a question about that. We are wondering, what's is Juanita gonna die or live? Mm-hmm. Is Andrew going to just be a human or kill some cats and later murder women or something? I don't know. Yeah. Like, he's a sociopath. So we have a mystery about that. Lynette, is she done for good with the ADD meds? What's going on there?
Yeah.
So these are our mysteries right now. We probably missed one or two, but those are the big headlines. And this brings us to our favorite part. My favorite part is the fuck, marry, kill.
That's my favorite part, too. This is my favorite. I don't care if our audience doesn't even like this segment. I don't want to stop doing it.
No, this is for me. Yeah. This is in my heart.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I can start with my kill. I'm going to kill Andrew. Kill
yes,
Andrew.
I'm going to kill
Andrew. Kill Andrew for sure.
Sorry, Andrew. You're
because
dead.
That dead was the worst display of... It wasn't even a display. He didn't even try to display remorse or guilt. Or, like,
no,
he's
a monster.
Sociopath. He's a monster. I thought that was horrific, so I vote to kill Andrew. I killed him last episode, too. I kill him again. I'm going to keep killing him, I think.
I think you should.
And
you definitely should at this rate.
I am going to fuck Shaft.
The murder.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, the hitman.
Whoa.
That's hot.
Yeah, it's hot that he's a hitman, and it's hot that he... figured it out last minute. He figured it out in the nick of time.
He's lucky he thought to ask about the stationery. You know, he thought to himself, I'm just gonna make a little joke about the stationery while I'm at it. And then he's like, oh no, like, oh yeah, thank God I asked about that.
Yeah, he shit regaled her, mm-hmm, with us. If he regaled me with that story on a date, for sure, fucking
yeah,
fucking Shaft. And I'm gonna marry, per usual, Julie. Usually the episode she's in, I'm like,
she's,
I don't know if
I've
married her yet, but I marry her this episode. Okay. She just had a little bit of a cameo, but she made some good jokes that we didn't go in depth about. But she's like, Mom, I need you to go on this date because I want to get married one day and I can't have you living with me.
Yeah.
She's just like, I love her humor. She's always a chipper attitude around. She's putting her mom in her place. She's like, so what if he has money? And so what if he's a drug dealer? And I'm like, my mindset too.
Perfect.
So that's my fuck, marry, kill this week.
Okay. I'm gonna kill Andrew also because I think you have to at this point with his behavior in this episode. No one topped him.
Yes.
I'm gonna fuck Mike because that
he
looked like a basic boy.
My notes
basic man.
My notes sound like I should have fucked him.
Mary. I don't know who I want to marry.
Mary
this
was
week.
Hard this week.
Everyone's pissing me off.
That's why I chose Julie. Father Crowley.
Fuck no, he's Catholic priest. He and Gabby probably
he's,
underage
he's a
people.
Good person.
Just saying.
Oh, whoa.
Sorry, I had to make my Catholic.
I love it.
Joke. Yeah. Had to do it. I'm looking at my notes. Like, did anybody do something that I would marry them for?
You can marry Mike as well.
Maybe I'll marry Mike as well. I don't know what his secret is, but that's hot. So you know, it's fine. We'll figure it out together.
He's got money.
Yeah, he has money at least. And then our house person of the week.
Or housewife. Yeah. I'm going to keep it the women. Yeah. Let's keep this a woman empowerment. But I guess if you want to nominate a man, we can do it.
I want to nominate Lynette because she did something pretty big in this episode, which was coming clean about her addiction.
I'm going to nominate Lynette because she really teetered on the brink of death, honestly.
She teetered and she chose to like be up honest with her friends. I think her friends get honorable mentions. I think not for anything else Bree did in the episode, but Bree and Susan get honorable mentions for finding Lynette and like making her like being there for her, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lynette deserves the credit because she connected. Like mm-hmm. there's, I think, a time in friendship when you like are your friends, but you're not, you haven't like reached that deeper level. And like Lynette did that. She took them to somewhere they've never been, and now I feel like they're going to be connected forever.
Yeah.
Because you don't really, like, get past that. It's not like, remember when I found you, like, drugged out? Like, mm-hmm. it's not, like, a casual. It's like, we really connected over this moment that you had a problem. It's mm-hmm. like, it's not just, like, one of those random funny stories that you would have with an acquaintance.
Exactly.
So, I think so. Lynette takes the cake.
All right. And then we got to do our Apple rating.
Okay.
I already have mine.
I do, too.
Okay.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, 5. Okay. I knew it. Like, this is such a good episode. I knew we were both going with 5.
Oh, my God.
This is a perfect episode of TV, in my opinion.
I think so, too.
I think it carried every story moved along, whether we liked where it went or not. I think big things happened. I think everybody got something interesting to do, which was, like, kind of rare. The past few episodes, we've kind of had, like, weaker stories. But every storyline was pretty intense and covered some serious stuff. We got, like, murder. We got mayhem.
Yeah.
We got sex.
I was thinking, like, I guess you could say Gabby's storyline is weak, but I could defend that myself by saying the Carlos and the kids conversation and the selfishness theme.
And
I think that was strong, actually.
And her conversation with the priest, I think, was also strong.
I think we've seen Gabby go places. Because typically Gabby is, I'm only saying this because Gabby is usually where we lose a point or two.
Yeah.
And so I think she even came through this episode.
We dove beneath the surface a little bit.
Yeah. And I also think Bree, although it wasn't a Rex Bree situation, I think it was important to have a Bree Andrew situation.
Yeah, absolutely. All the acting in this episode was fantastic. We got, like, the most movement ever at the main, like, the mystery plot.
Yeah, we had a murder. Our death count is now 2.5 because we don't know if Juanita is going to live.
Yeah, so we got two confirmed deaths.
Two confirmed death count for this episode. Typically, I've been trying to point out a moment of diversity. I guess it's Shaft.
We got the acupuncturist.
Oh,
because she had to be Asian.
Yeah, she had to be Asian because white people don't practice,
I don't know,
medicine like that in 2004.
I was, like, low-key worried that the show was going to, like, when she was, like, asking the lady for something strong, I was scared they were going to have her give her, like, opium. Because, like, the show does that. Like, they have been so stereotypical.
That's
with
true.
Their
They've been pretty stereotypical.
Like, with the hate crime situation, with Yao Lin or...
Yeah, Yao Lin.
Yeah, with their maid. Like, everything's just a little too on the nose. So I was like, oh no, oh no, Lord. Oh no.
Yeah, just heroin.
Yes.
She has moved on.
Oh no.
Yeah, so we did see a lot. So we did cover the spectrum, and this is our 5 Apple episode. This is the first one, you
this
guys.
This is the first 5
so
Apple episode.
If you weren't in the first 7 episodes, you're in now.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready for it to be over, but it is. So you guys, please, I mean, keep up. We want to know what you think. Connect with us.
Like, subscribe, follow us on every platform.
Yeah,
Engage with us, rate us.
Yeah. Let us know what you're thinking, because, like, this was an epic episode of television. So if you're a Desperate Housewife super fan, come out and show yourselves.
Yeah, because, like, we need to talk. This week, I feel like this episode is going to have some good, like, Instagram content, interactive Instagram content.
Yes.
So we need people to tell us what they're thinking, what they're feeling.
Yeah.
This was an emotional roller coaster.
So, well, with all that covered, we're excited for the next episode, and we hope you are as well. You can follow us, like we said. I don't know. I keep fucking this up. Well, with all that business covered, we're excited for the next episode, and We hope you are too. Yes. Our episodes drop every Monday.
Every Monday.
So you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever. We have a link in our bio on our Instagram mm-hmm. that will take you wherever it is that you want to go. So, yeah, tune in every Monday. Next Monday, we'll be doing episode 9. And we hope Super to see you exciting. There.
Hope to see you there.
All right.
As always, know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.